Well, good morning again. Great time to get around the fellowship around God's Word and see everybody that is here. And it's great just to have a time where we can separate ourselves and spend time with God. Lexi, can you grab the keyboard, please? We sang a little song last week, which was just a small chorus. I'll get Kerry to join with me and help lead this, but just a beautiful little tune. And those that heard it online will know it, and those that were here last week will know it, but maybe you turn me down a bit, Darren. And just, Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. I really believe that our love for God needs to be something we kindle constantly and generate constantly and daily to ensure that our heart is right and our love for Him is ebbing strongly. And the girls will follow Kerry with the hallelujah section through the chorus. So can we just sing this together? Stand, sit, whatever you want to do. Lord, before my day begins. Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. Lord, before my day is done, Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your Son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your Son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. One more time. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. Father, today we kindle our hearts for you and our love and our passion and our zeal for you again. And we pray, Lord God, today will be a day that as our interaction goes on with you and with your Spirit in this place, that kindling, when that ebb and our love for you would grow even to a greater measure, that we would, Lord God, be prepared and ready to know that it's imperative that we stir up our hearts and stir up our spirits and express our love for you constantly, that we grow in love, that we grow in the knowledge of God. And today I pray, Father, for the direction of your Spirit to bring that about and to help us to grow and to know you as never before. We appreciate you, Father. We appreciate you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you, Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and direct as only you know how, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is so good. God is amazing. Great to have everyone here today and those that are listening over the podcast and keeping up with what God's saying and what we're doing and where we're at. And I just find God's been amazing at this time and bringing about some incredible insights, understanding, challenges. And despite the distractions of the world and despite the things that are going on around us and despite the doom and gloom and everything else that everybody else is bothered with, everything in the kingdom has not ceased to flow and flourish and move on. Amen? So good. So good. Kerry got Lexi onto this little couple of YouTube things last night that a girl from or lady from South Australia does called Coffee with Jesus. What's her name?
Lana Vorsa.
Lana Vorsa. And both of these messages, the first one I thought was just so imperative for people that were just getting swallowed up by things in their lives. And it was just such an encouraging word that God gave her to present. And she has got a very strong prophetic voice. And the second message blew me away from the point of view that what I was started last week and wanted to finish today just was so in line and so parallel and so relevant and pertinent. I think I'd like to get that message up on our podcast because it's such a great relevant time to hear what God's saying at this stage. She does travel around, and I don't know what the chances are of getting her here sometime in the future, but I believe she's got a real voice for the church in this day and age. It would be it would be really good to know that one day we could get her along here, and it would be an intense session. Believe me, we would have her here for several services if it can happen. But so good. You know, Darren's going to bring bring us around the table of the Lord and in communion next. And I think he wants to just put a song on first or after. Which way do you want to do that, Daz? Okay, no problems. We're going to go through this amazing song and then Darren will take it on.
Without your goodness, I would be desperate. Without your love, slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, but my freedom, hallelujah, for the cross. Oh, I thank you for the cross, Lord. And all my shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory. Oh, the power of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood, you bought my freedom. thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. Oh, with your blood, Jesus, bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah for. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. But my freedom, hallelujah for the cross. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Yeah, I thank you for the cross.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the cross. Love that song, and as I was preparing this message, whilst only relatively short, this scripture firstly came to, I suppose, to mind, that I put in my notes a few weeks ago, and then we had our new man men's night on Wednesday night, and this scripture came up again, and it was quite detailed in the way that Curry Blake explained it. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And I like it in the Amplified and then a word in the King James as well. There's a fair bit in this. You know, it's only, three verses, but there's so much in it that I like. And it starts off saying, "To the praise of his glorious grace and favour, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, his Son, Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin, in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding with practical insight." You could go into every part of that scripture, and you could go probably for hours really in it, but I like one particular part in the King James Version where it says in verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Accepted in the beloved, and it just kept coming up in my spirit, that accepted in the beloved. So I just researched a bit further, and that word accepted in the Greek is charitu, which is only mentioned one other time in the Bible, which is when the angel Gabriel talks to or speaks to Mary. The angel says, "You are highly favored one. Blessed are you among women." So, and that word there, accepted, also means highly favored. So we're accepted and highly favoured, and I just kept, coming to him. I'm like, that is great that we are accepted and highly favoured, and we haven't really done anything for it. You know, it's all through the cross and through the grace of our Lord, which is so great. And just before we take the elements together, also just that now that we're in the new covenant, we're a new person, a new man. Just a few differences between the old covenant and the new. We've been made righteous. It brings life and not death. It brings liberty and not bondage. It makes us free and it doesn't condemn. The old covenant couldn't make us perfect, but the new makes us perfect. And the old required many sacrifices, but the new covenant, there is just one sacrifice, which is Jesus, which I love. So as we take these elements together this morning, I'll just pray over them this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we honour you and thank you so much for who you are and what you did for us, Lord. Thank you for the new covenant, Lord. Thank you that we can come to you freely, Lord God. And thank you that we are accepted in your eyes, Lord, and we don't have to do anything but come to you We just honour you and thank you for that, Lord. We give our lives for you, Lord God, this morning as we remember what you did for us on the cross, Lord. We thank you as we take the bread together this morning. Lord God, thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lord, that you brought your only Son into the world, Lord, to die for us. That one sacrifice, Lord, that we can be forgiven of our sins. And we just remember that this morning and acknowledge that, Lord, and thank you as a result of that, Lord, that we are highly favoured and accepted in your sight, Lord. And let us look to you and remember that, Lord God, in every day, Lord. We just honour you and praise you and thank you as we, as a family together, Lord God, take this communion together. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Darren. That's such a real and relevant aspect of that new covenant that we live in and live under, and it causes us to show the Lord's death and who he is, what he's done in our lives constantly until he comes. And you want to know a little bit more about that, listen to the last couple of weeks, because it's so incredible the way God has done that. I go straight into sharing what God's put on my heart. And last week I started off with guarding our heart and ensuring that our heart was preserved, protected, and surrounded and really taken into consideration the importance of ensuring that we don't allow it to run its own course, but we kept it in check in a way. But our heart, the inner self, the inner man, doesn't have a natural tendency to want to seek after God. Anyone ever notice that? Yeah, anyone? It's got its own agenda. And the reason the scriptures want or exhort us to guard ourselves or guard our inner heart, to guard our inner life with all diligence is because if we're not careful, it'll go back to its default mode. And the heart of man, as the Bible tells us, is really not that good. Corrupt and full of wickedness and wants to, it'll without any hesitation revert to its old self. And this is why Paul says, knowing this, our old man was crucified with Christ. And in that sense, we have been put aside and taken the old life, the old nature, crucified it with Christ. But Paul said he had to die daily. I die daily. Why? Because this thing just keeps wanting to go back to default mode. And I often had this condemnation hanging over my life that I would never make it, never be a good Christian, never be able to walk the walk, because for some reason I didn't know and understand that you could bring yourself into a position of guarding your heart, guarding your life, bringing yourself into subjection to the Spirit and dying daily. And it's still a process and still a work in progress. But it's something we have to discipline ourselves to do. And Paul encourages us to guard our heart with all diligence. Well, the scriptures do. And that's something we really need to govern. And I really find that there's so much in the scriptures that give us encouragement in this and bring about an understanding of what it is to do this and to know God's word, to have a love for God, to preserve ourselves the way the scripture wants us to. And we found the word of God is there. It's quick, it's powerful, it's strong, sharper than any two-edged sword, divides us under soul and spirit, but is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want to bring your heart in check, you want to know what your heart's doing. The word of God will bring that into light. The word of God will show it up. The word of God will make it alive to us. The word of God will bring the reality of it around. Even in Proverbs, where it was written there, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh." Keep your heart with all diligence. That's where the scripture brings it out. For out of it, or guard it, out of the issues of life. We need to build a defense and a safety barrier based on God's word and on who God says I am, not how I see myself as I am. And so the encouragement of that is to go on in what God says. And you know, there are people that would want to distract us. There are things that want to distract us. There are so many things going on in life, both in the church and outside of the church, and we can get caught up in the busyness of it and the craziness of some of it, because we can end up really getting ourselves distracted by things that are not necessarily conducive to generating our love for God and our passion for the kingdom, but more about being busier, doing things all the time, or getting involved in things that aren't necessarily growing us in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so it's important to just get ourselves back into a situation where we're settled in God first, settled in Him. Bible doesn't tell us to grow in the busyness of church life or grow in being dependent on this or that format or something else. Just grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I love that. Get to know Him. And that little tune we sang, "Lord, before my day begins." I don't know about you when you but when I sing that, you can't help but focus on God. You can't help but just be in awe of His wonder and His beauty and the way He is. And you know, Jesus even spoke to us and He said, "Make the tree good and the fruit good. Otherwise, the tree is corrupt and its fruit corrupt, and a tree is known by its fruit." And he gives the scribes and the Pharisees a survey and says, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things." And that's where it's important to keep the heart in the Word of God, because it will bring out things that are conducive to goodness and the goodness of God. Not our goodness, God's goodness. A good man out of the good treasury's heart brings forth good things, in Luke it says. An evil man will bring out evil things. And so it's interesting that he says after that, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not obey me and don't do what I tell you? Are you hearing my sayings and doing them or not?" You know, it's an interesting part that Jesus brought out there. Proverbs says the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. So what's in the heart ends up coming out of the mouth. What's in the heart ends up being revealed who we really are by the things we speak and the things that we say. A man's belly, in Proverbs it says, shall be satisfied, this is 18:20-21, with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of a tongue. So if satisfaction's going to come into our life, it needs to be spoken out in confidence from God's word. We'd be satisfied then. The inner man would be satisfied then. And so we need to ensure that we're speaking out things that produce life and not death. The mouth of a righteous man speaks wisdom. The tongue, and his tongue talks of judgment. So he's very astute in what he brings about and careful in what he says. The law of God is in his heart. Therefore, none of his steps shall slide, or he doesn't slip up all the time, because he's continually guarded in where he's going with it. It's just an inner man strengthening that brings out the life of God. Proverbs in chapter 23 says this, My son, if your heart is wise, my heart also will be glad. My innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Wow. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord. That's a great guarded heart principle. Live in the fear of the Lord. And you know, there are so many distractions that are thrown our way that the enemy wants us to fall into and to be caught up in. And people get caught up in doctrinal differences and issues, and they'll fight over this thing and they'll fight over that thing, and the devil is actually out to bring the kingdom of God to disrepute. And so it's so important not to be caught up in the devil's deceits. And Paul wrote this, and he says, we are not ignorant of his devices. And I'm wondering if the church today is ignorant of the devices of the enemy. There are so many things that the devil can use to bring Christians into a lack of focus on God. They can get focused in so many other things, but God must be paramount, number one. We need to be founded and grounded in him and in his word. And Ephesians 3:16-20 is amazing when Paul says this: for this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant us, or you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man. It's by his Spirit. What does the Spirit use to teach us through? The Word. Totally. And so it's amazing how the Word and the Spirit are so integrated in the growth of each and every person in the kingdom. The principle was in Genesis. When God wanted creation brought into being, the Spirit of God was hovering. And then the Word came and created life happened. And it's with you and I, the Spirit of God is constantly hovering, and when the Word comes, recreated life happens. Isn't that incredible? I love that. The parallel is always there from Genesis all the way through. And so the Spirit is constantly wanting to strengthen us in our inner man so that Christ, his empowerment and his anointing, would dwell in our hearts through faith, that we'd be rooted and grounded in love. Wow. Think about that. What love? Our love for him. Now that's paramount, firstly and foremostly, because if we can love God, we then to appreciate and get to know his love for us. We come to God through it because he loves us. He demonstrated his love for us, and while we were sinners, he gave Christ for us. But then there's a growth factor that causes us to begin to generate a love for him. And I think that needs kindling more and more in the Christian's life. Because if we are then rooted and grounded in that, we don't deviate from the truth. And then we begin to grasp and comprehend the length and the breadth and the height and the width and whatever it says, Paul says, of the love of God, that we come to know the love of God surpassing all natural knowledge. And a lot of people have a knowledge, oh yeah, I know God loves me. That's fine, but do you comprehend it with the width of it, the length of it, the breadth of it, the depth of it? Do we have any understanding of the intensity of that love? Do we have any real comprehension of it? And you know, to do that, we've first got to kindle our love for him. Being rooted and grounded in love then allows God to reveal his love and his heart and his passion to us. I love that. It's got an unflowing effect as we begin to generate our inner man for him. I really find that what Paul was saying here, we begin to know the love of Christ surpassing knowledge, that we can't know it with our natural thinking and our natural understanding, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. He is then able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And that power that works in us is generated through our love for God. So we don't go asking all we can ask or thinking willy-nilly, blasé, blab it and grab it fashion, because we have a generous, a heart that is generated through the love for God and knowing His love. We only ask things according to His will. And we get to know God and what He wants for us. And you say, God, I see in Your word that You want this for me. And I'm crying out, Lord God, to have what You've got for me in my life so I can be a greater ambassador for You and let Your light shine through me in this life. It then doesn't become a selfish thing. It becomes a motivation to give God first place. It really does. I love that. And it comes from a guarded heart initially, a kept heart, a heart that's preserved and protected. We've got to be so cautious of distractions. And we're in an age today where there's distractions everywhere. There's distractions that are, man, you can get caught up with that TV. There's distractions on television. There's distractions on the news. There's distractions of busyness of life and work scenarios and situations. And we have responsibilities that we have to live in and perform in, which is good. And we do that with the same diligence that we have for God. And that's the important part about that. They do not govern our life, but we are diligent in them. But because we have a love for God, that's paramount. It becomes so much more important. And so we have some warnings in the scriptures. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said there would be people that are distracted. Whoa, really? And he said to Timothy, he says, you preach the word. Love that. Be ready. Be prepared in and out of season to convince and to rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrinal teaching. Because the time will come when men will not endure sound teaching or doctrine. Man, have we ever seen that today? It's worse than it ever was. People have got so many self-stirred up theories on what good teaching is, and boy oh boy, but if it's not preaching the word, it fails in sound doctrine, it fails in sound teaching. Paul said to Timothy, you preach the word. A little further on, he says that they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny its power and authority. From such turn away. They would have a form of godliness. In other words, they're doing it as Christians. They're doing it as people of God. But they have this denying of God's final authority, final power, and even in other things, denying even the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's sad, because that becomes back into almost like a religious thing rather than a generated love for God format that God wanted. Goes on in the same verse 13 of the same chapter. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Boy, oh boy. And I don't know that I've seen so much conjecture, not only in the church. I mean, the church is sort of, I'm not canning the church, don't get me wrong. But there are facets and aspects that are trying to undermine the foundations of the truth of God's word. And we need to guard ourselves against them. Be aware of those things. And brought up a couple of weeks ago how a church in America wanted to win people in its locality. So they sent out a survey. What would it take to get you to church? Don't mention the blood. Don't preach the cross. Don't do this, don't do that. And so they brought out this user-friendly format for people, so people would come to church. And it has infiltrated churches worldwide. And we've now got so many user-friendly churches around that the power of God's been denied. Form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What a sad scenario. All because one guy wanted to win his locality and gave them the criteria of how the church would run. You tell me how you want the church to run so you can come and I'll do it for you. Huh? Coffee would have been my number one. But fancy cowering down to the popular opinion. Don't preach the blood. Don't preach repentance. Don't preach the cross. Don't do this. We don't want this. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear the other. And we'll come to church. My Lord, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Oh, man. And I find that just is so destructive in so many areas now, that this user-friendly nonsense has taken over the kingdom in so many areas. Mark chapter 7, Jesus said this, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Now Jesus said this. Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, put him to death. But you now say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is now korban, in other words, it's a gift to God, then you no longer allow him to do anything for his father and his mother. In other words, he doesn't have to honor them anymore. He doesn't have to respect them anymore, because he says to his father and mother, all that I'm supposed to do for you is now a gift to God. You're out of it. And so they allow that. He says, and by your traditions, you have now made the word of God of no effect. We've got to be careful. Churches are getting into traditions of format and ceremony and things, and they've done it for centuries just in some areas. But just be careful. It's not something we do because we think we have to. We nullify the word of God in our lives. It's important. We've got to guard our heart. We make the word of no effect. Jesus actually said that. And many such things you do. Many such things. Not just that. Many such things. And then he goes on, leaves the multitude, and he talks to his disciples privately. And they ask him about what he said. And he says, there's nothing that enters a man from the outside that can defile him, but that which comes from within him. Wow. From out of him. We've got to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts to keep ourselves in line with God's word, with what God says. There are distractive voices. And the one I just mentioned, men will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires and having itching ears, they will gather up teachers for themselves and turned their ears away from the truth to be turned aside to fables. Fables. And what's a fable? I remember a book of fables we had when I was at school. The teachers used to read from this book of fables, and it was all about things that were just like fairy stories. They weren't real. They weren't real. Well, people that are distracted and want to go into, you know, I just tell me what I want to hear. Make it user-friendly. It becomes a fable. It doesn't bear any resemblance to the truth. It's not a reality. The heart then swallows that up and unfortunately takes away the reality of the truth of God's word. Need to be so diligent in keeping in line with God's word. Nothing else. It's just really tragic that when Paul brought that about, it happens, and it's happening in the world today. The scripture that says, whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. Now let's look at that one verse. Dum, dum, dum. All together. For some unknown reason, there's a fable in there that people have generated. They've taken that middle bit out. Tongues will cease. And there's a great teaching around the place now. Oh no, if you're talking tongues, that's wrong. Tongues have ceased. It went away. Finished with the apostles. And okay, did prophecies fail? Now, hang on a minute. Prophecies are still outworking. So why did tongues cease? The next bit, whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. Has knowledge gone? In fact, knowledge has increased, if anything. So why would someone pick the middle bit out and build a doctrine on it? They've turned it into a fable. Doesn't bear any resemblance to the truth. Because if you go on in that chapter and it says, howbeit we prophesy in part and we know in part, everything we're doing now is what God's provided for us until that which is perfect has come. And it's not ever going to finish up until Christ returns. Nothing will change until he comes back. But people have done exactly what the scriptures have said, been distracted by teachers because they've got itching ears and they've been turned to listen to fables. Pulling a little bit out like that and just making it a big issue when it's all part of a whole picture and scenario that Paul was teaching on. It's so distractive and people get caught up in that. People get changed and they get challenged. Why? Because they're not founded and grounded in a love for God and his word. And I'm appalled sometimes at people that I hear telling me things. Oh, I went here and I heard this and it really sort of made me think. And I'm like, how does that line up with the scriptures? Oh, well, it made sense at the time. Who says it has to make sense? It's got to line up with the word of God. You begin to think on things that aren't aligned with the word of God, you get sucked into fables. And this is the whole scenario we've got to have a guarded heart for. Keep your heart with all diligence. Something comes along, I don't know about you, but whenever I hear anything taught, I don't care if it's good or bad or otherwise, I'm like a scanner in a computer. And I'm going from Genesis to Revelation. How does that fit the scriptures? And if I have a caution in my spirit at all, I say, well, God, what are you trying to say to me out of this? And I find that God's really trying to either warn me on something, caution me on something, or show me how it doesn't fit somewhere. But it's amazing. And I really get challenged by a lot of things. And then I have to go into the Word of God and find out, does it align up with the Word? Does it line up 100% with the Word of God? And there are some amazing things that are being taught at the moment. And God is challenging the church deeply in so many areas. And I'm wishing I was 40 years younger to be able to get along with a lot of this new stuff that's coming out and just run with it, because there's so much God is bringing into the church life today that is going to turn the world upside down in the next few years. Can't believe me, as long as I got a breath in my body, I'll be part of it. But there's also the other side of things where the enemy is just infiltrating with fables and fairy stories, and we've got to be so careful that it lines up with God's word. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, love never fails. Love never fails, regardless of whether these other things are inactive, active, or whatever they might be. And then he says, whether there be prophecies, yeah, they may fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. But when that which is perfect is come, that which we know in part will be done away. There's a greater aspect and a facet, but at this stage we are still functioning in what God has given us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's not be caught up with those who have a form of godliness but deny the power. People don't line that up too much. And people that want to tear the power of the Holy Spirit out of the scripture and talk about, oh no, that finished with the apostles and this happened and that happened, that's a distraction. And it's someone preaching, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. The power of the Spirit's there for us, amen? Constantly, constantly. I just love the way the Word of God totally covers every facet and aspect of every part of church life and life. And if we're walking in diligence with a kept and a guarded heart, nothing will distract us or take our attention away from God's word. I love the word of God like that. And if we have a guarded heart, taught by the Spirit, with a passion for a God, with a passion for his word, we'll be founded and grounded. And when Jesus talked a little earlier in Mark, when he talked about the things that they got into their traditions and they got away from the word of God and made the word of God of no effect, he finished that scripture by saying this: "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but things which come out of him." And then he goes on and he says, "If you hear my sayings and you do them, I will liken you to a wise man. Not a foolish man who builds on sand, but a wise man who builds on a rock." It's all tied in that the word of God must be paramount in every situation. We're founded and grounded as the wise man who built securely on rock, not as someone who builds himself on sand and can't handle the pressures of life and the storms of life that bring about the whole thing to destruction. So that's just such an amazing scenario of God wanting us to keep our hearts, to guard our hearts, to ensure we're founded and grounded fully on his word, to be solidified in him and not in other things, to be totally secure in the rock of all ages, amen? To let Christ be our cornerstone and our foundation and every possible facet of that, to keep our lives firmly fixed and focused on him. I'm just sure that in this day and age, with so many things coming up right across the planet, distractions everywhere, and unfortunately situations where churches can't meet and churches have had to, you know, almost be fragmented into pieces everywhere because people can't get together and do this, some are getting discouraged. Why? We've got a relationship with the God of all glory. How could you be discouraged then? We've got a Father who loves us passionately. How could that give us discouragement? We've just got the best of everything. And this world's got nothing by comparison. Nothing. That's a guarded heart. That's a guarded heart. That's a kept heart. That's a protected life. That's keeping your inner man with all diligence, because we know it's founded on the God we have a loving relationship with. And I think that's so important in this day and age to make that paramount in our lives. I'd like us to just listen to this amazing song that always stirs my heart up. Every time I hear it, every time I sing it, to me it just portrays my heart for God. And I'd love us to just go through this now together. Thank you, and God bless you. love that song. To me, it's a real intense prayer. And if that got into your heart today, you can see that an eagle in the natural doesn't get bothered by the storms. Just finds the vortices and turns the storm into an area of strength where it can stretch its wings and soar above it. It's never distracted by the storm. Just looks down on it and goes, wow, look at that. But soaring in its majesty above it all. And in the scriptures, the analogy of eagle's wings speaks to us of the power of God. So when we soar with wings of eagles, we are dependent only on the power of God to rise above every distraction and every storm that life can throw at us. And I love that song. Lord, renew my mind. Keep my heart and allow me to soar on your power. Father, we thank you for that. And I pray as we sang that today, it would be the prayer you answer for each and every person today that's heard this, both here and on the podcast. And I praise you for that opportunity and thank you for your blessings, your protection, your guardianship. I pray, Lord, that you'll teach us to be diligent in keeping and guard our hearts by the power of your Spirit and by your word, being strong in our lives, and that our love for you, Lord God, would be kindled daily, that we can see your love and know you and soar up with wings as of eagles. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.